Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are really, really glad to have you here. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We can't say thanks enough to everybody that has come by Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. That's where we're broadcasting from. And for those of you listening on the network all throughout the great state and beyond the borders, whether you're listening to us in Minneapolis, which I want to say hi to Dave, who sent us a $20 donation via the internet, listening to us in Minneapolis. Also, Mark listens to us every day over in Dubuque, Iowa. And we got Jose, who was listening to us down in Rockford. He is a Bears fan, but he said, great cause. He's donating $20 to the cause as well. So thanks so much to everybody on the network for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to be here all week long. So if you can come out from 6A to 6P, somebody is here to take your cash donation, your toy donation, a new unwrapped toy for the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. We are joined now as we start to break down this game coming up this Saturday. Bill Rabinowitz, he is all set, and he is from the Columbus Dispatch. And Bill, first of all, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I'm sure it's really picking up at this point in time. But give me your assessment, the breakdown, as you would kind of take it for this particular game coming up.
Well, the good thing about playing Wisconsin is that you pretty much know what you're going to get. You know, there's not a lot of mystery to Wisconsin. They're going to find some power game. They play very good defense. They throw enough, particularly the tight end, obviously, Kumagawa is very good. So there's not a lot of mystery, but it's a fun matchup because here you have an undefeated team where people question how good Wisconsin really is because their schedule against an Ohio State team, which when they're good, they're really good, and then they have games like Iowa, and you go, what was that? So I think it's a really intriguing matchup.
Right. When you look at this, and you talked about the matchup, the last time these two teams met, it was a blowout. I mean, it was a really different scenario. We had Gary Anderson interviewing in other places, getting ready to leave the program. It seemed like things were just in a little bit of disarray. This particular time, the Badgers have lived by the mantra of one game at a time. They've got a very steady, non-flamboyant head coach in Paul Christ, who's done a terrific job, I think, where you've got the flash that is the Buckeyes. And as you said, when they're on, they're on. I mean, if JT Barrett plays the way and throws the way he did against Penn State, to me, I don't know how the Badgers are going to stop them. But if you find a couple of chinks in the armor, as we saw in Iowa, this team inexplicably didn't have an answer. And I'm wondering how much the Badgers took out of that ballgame. What did you take away from that Iowa loss more so than anything?
It was a shock because not that I thought that Iowa wouldn't give them a game or couldn't give them a game. I did. Anyone who saw Iowa play Penn State knew that, especially at Kinnick, that's a tough place to play. But to lose 55-24, to have it completely snowball out of control, I mean, the first play of the game was a pick six by Barrett. But then they tied it up, and you figure they're in pretty good shape. And then Nick Bosa gets a targeting penalty, which obviously he may be their best defensive player. And they got a 15-yard penalty. They scored right away. Then Barrett threw a really stupid pick. And it was 31-17 and a half, and the second half was even worse. So that just kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, part of that, I guess, I chalk up to this. That's just the crazy thing about college football sometimes. Things snowball, and you can't make sense of it. I think in 20 years, if you were to ask a reminder about Iowa in 2017, he'd just shake his head and start muttering. You know, some things are beyond explanation.
First of all, JT Barrett, it looks as if he's going to be ready to go in this ballgame. He says he will be. What a freak thing to happen on the sideline, and where did the investigation lead that Urban Meyer promised?
Yeah, well, I think they are looking into it. TMZ had a video, I called it the fruiter tape of camera gate, even though there was no actual footage of the injury. But you could hear somebody saying they just hit JT's knee. And it seemed like the way the reaction, from that reaction, that it wasn't an accident. It was, I'm not saying it was a Tanya Harding thing, but it was, it's strange. And I talked to JT right after the game, and he didn't think it was intentional. At least it would give whoever did it the benefit of the doubt. But that's a strange thing. And the press conference after the game, when you figure Urban Meyer would be delighted that they rallied to beat their arch rival, especially with a backup quarterback, a freshman who comes in and plays great, Dwayne Haskins Jr. And all he could think about was JT's knee and how that could possibly happen. It was just the most bizarre press conference.
The knee appears, at least right now, to be eligible for him to play. But how much do you think, if at all, that knee hampers him in this ballgame?
That's a great question. I don't think we'll know. I just don't think there's any way to know. We do have interviews tonight, not with Barrett, but with the other players, and I'm sure that other players will be asked how did JT look, and they'll give the politically correct answer, and we'll ask Meyer on Friday when we get to Indianapolis, and he will say whatever he says, and it'll be a mystery. The good thing for Ohio State, though, is that they now know that Dwayne Haskins can play and play well in a pressure situation. 3 years ago when Cardale Jones had to replace Barrett after Barrett broke his ankle against Michigan, he was a mystery because Ohio State was already ahead against Michigan that year. They just needed him not to blow the game, and he was just a caretaker. They had to have Haskins go win the game for him, and he did. He's got a great arm. He's got a better arm than J.T. Barrett does, but there's a lot more that goes into being a successful quarterback than an arm. And so we'll see if Haskins has to play this week, whether he can do it for 60 minutes. Wisconsin's got a very good defense. This is a very intriguing matchup, and then when you factor in the college football playoff ramifications, and just add to it.
Talking with Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch, breaking down the Buckeyes and the Badgers coming up this Saturday night down in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship game. Badgers come into this number one overall total defense, number one in points per game, number two in yards per, number one in yards per game, number two in points per game. But when you look at the offense of Wisconsin, this is going to be the best offense that this team, this Badgers team, has faced all season long. While I find the matchup for the ability of Alex Hornibrook to be able to actually get the ball downfield, I find that fascinating with the defense of Ohio State. I'm more so thinking to myself, if the Badgers are going to win this game, they're going to have to win it with that defense that's got them wins all season long. But on the opposite side of the coin, how much, if at all, does the Buckeyes, do they fear what the Badgers offensively bring to the table?
I think they're probably more concerned about Phil Magalli than they are the run game. I mean, they have respect for the run game. Obviously, Wisconsin has they're the same team every year when it comes to that. They're very good at what they do. But Ohio State's had a lot of trouble covering the tight end this year. Iowa killed them with that. Four of their five touchdowns were to tight ends, and the other was to a running back, to a fullback. Michigan hurt them with some tight end passes early. So Michael Sicky from Penn State, he's a great player also, but That's the thing to me, because I think that Ohio State could cover the wide receivers, Denzel Ward's a shutdown corner. So I think that's not a real big fear for Ohio State. And obviously you have to respect the run game, but I think it's the combination of the run game and those move the chains plays, the Phil Magalli, that they've got to really worry about.
If the Buckeyes win this ballgame, there's a lot of talk about who will and will not be in the Final Four. If the Buckeyes win, does that loss to Iowa keep them out of the Final Four sitting at number eight, or does the win over Wisconsin, who is ranked number three, propel them into the Final Four as a two-loss team, in your opinion?
I don't think anyone can know. I mean, obviously if Wisconsin wins, they're in. I think of RSC, it's Wisconsin, Wisconsin's out. I mean, I just don't think Wisconsin's strength of schedule is good enough to overcome a loss, and it's not their fault. They tried. BYU is obviously a good program, and they just caught them in a year when BYU is not any good, and the Big Ten West is not very good. So I just don't think they're going to get any benefit of the doubt if they lose to Ohio State from the committee. Ohio State, it really could come down to Ohio State and Alabama. It's as strange as that sounds, because people kind of assume it'll be Alabama because it's Alabama and they have only lost once, but who have they played? I mean, you look at their schedule, and their best win is LSU, and LSU's not great this year. Mississippi State's the second best win. And you just look at their resume, and you think if it wasn't Alabama, then I'm not sure that there's that strong a case to make. On the other hand, Ohio State has two losses, and one of them was that horrible loss to Iowa. So it all is in the eye of the beholder. It'll be a fascinating debate. People would pay a lot of money to be a fly on the wall in that room if that's the scenario.
If I know anything about walking across the campus of Ohio State for the cup of coffee that I had for a couple of years with a football program, I know that that's what the buzz is right now. It's get past Wisconsin and then kind of let the chips fall where they may, but I would assume everybody's pontificating about how their schedule, how their strength of schedule, and how their wins are better than what Alabama has to put up against anybody else in the country. So that, to me, probably is all the talk in Ohio State right now, right, in Columbus?
It is, but it also is about J.T. Barrett, and it's also a little bit about Greg Schiavo and the fiasco with Tennessee, and then obviously about the game itself. With Ohio State, has a lot of respect for Wisconsin, and this is a fun game. This is for Ohio State fans who on November 4th, after the Iowa game, figured our season is over, and there's nothing really left to play for except kind of a hollow Big Ten championship. Now all of a sudden, you have that Big Ten championship against an undefeated team with a potential bottom of the playoffs on the line, and part of the parlor game is this: is okay? Do they? How close to 59-0 would they have to come to really sway the committee? Yeah, obviously that was nobody saw that one coming 3 years ago, and nobody expects Ohio State to win anything like that this week if they win. But that's kind of what they're thinking. Ohio State does need style points. They can't just kind of win this game ugly if they have any chance of getting into the playoffs. They really have to look impressive.
I did want to ask you about Greg Schiano, and on one hand, it's a fascinating story for what's going on with the Tennessee situation. I completely agree there. The other aspect of this is I'm seeing from at least some friends of mine over there are that they're kind of glad he's staying, that he didn't get a job to go elsewhere, that they've been pretty happy with what he's been able to accomplish as the D coordinator there. So are you getting the sense that Buckeye fans are kind of happy about him staying?
Yeah, I think they are. I think that Greg Schiano is a respected coach. I don't think there's any question about that. Obviously, at the Iowa game and even the Oklahoma game, people are saying, you know, fire Schiano, because that's what Ohio State fans do and fans do in general when a team loses. But yeah, I think all in all, people think Greg Schiano was a defensive coordinator. I mean, look, his track record is pretty impressive, and it's been a strange story. And the other thing that you kind of alluded to is, if he had gotten the Tennessee job, this year's different than past years because of the early signing period. In the past, Tom Herman has stayed throughout the postseason. Chris Ash stayed throughout the postseason. Luke Fickell last year stayed until the season was over. This year, because of the early signing period, new coaches probably cannot afford to just stay with their old school. And then, you know, because the recruiting, the signing period is December 20th. That's passed by the time the season may be over. So the fact that Schiano didn't get that job helps Ohio State because they're not going to have to deal with a coaching transition and that distraction while they're preparing for Wisconsin and also the bowl game.
Bill, good stuff as always. We certainly appreciate it. We will chat again down the road, I'm sure, at some point, okay?
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks so much. There you go. Bill Ravenowitz, he is with the Columbus Dispatch, been covering the Buckeyes for a long time and breaking down this game. Coming into this matchup coming up on Saturday night down in Indianapolis, the Badgers taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes for the Big Ten Championship. The Badgers win and they're in. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Buckeyes win. They've got a lot of question marks as to whether or not they're going to be able to surpass a team like Alabama when it comes to strength of schedule and having two losses. That ugly loss to Iowa certainly detrimental to their hopes and chances to get into the Final Four. But thanks to him for joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You call and they'll get you on. That's it. 844-PRY to go to SchneiderJobs.com, 844-PRY, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction. They have a 98% success rate. That's 98% success rate. And if you're looking for the low T fix, if you will, looking for more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, and just kind of feeling energized. I went through the same thing, and it really does work. I've encouraged you to give them a call, 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center and the all-in-one weight loss program. Yes, that works as well. Just try it, 414-455-4451. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up live out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We are in Oak Creek, Wisconsin on Rawson Avenue. Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to join us coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. This hour of the Bill Michaels Show is sponsored by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly.
Got to meet the honey with the Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you broadcasting live down here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the Toy Drive. That's where you can find us. Rosset Avenue in Oak Creek. And we continue to stuff the bins. Today's been a really good day. If we can get a couple of bins a day, that's fantastic for the run during this program, so to speak. Today we've had three or four bins have been stuffed today. Thanks to the Allstate agents, too, for showing up. Kevin, Dave from Milwaukee, Brian as well, everybody dropping off toys. Man, this has been a great day. It really has been. Thanks to John, who came by and gave us a $50 donation. But so many people. I mean, I've gone through the list. They keep sticking these things in front of me. Dwayne from Oak Creek dropped $10 off a little while ago. Thanks to Dwayne for coming by. Thanks to Kathy. Kathy brought her kids over, by the way, a little earlier, and I wanted to say hello. Donna and Lynn from Milwaukee also have stopped by. So, man, we can't say thanks enough to everybody that has already participated, and hopefully you tell friends about it because it really is a worthy, worthy cause. Again, it's for the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, and the toys that are donated goes directly to the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. And then when they fill up that big bank that they have, then from there they disperse toys beyond that to different programs throughout the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. So the more that you can help, the more kids that you're going to help along the way. So please don't stop. Don't stop. And the money as well. If you can't come down and drop off a new unwrapped toy, it's a monetary donation. Whether it's a couple of bucks, 10 bucks. We do have kiosks down here if you want to swipe a credit card for $10 and $25 donations. But there is so much more to that. If you want to do it online, you can go to 1057fmthefan.com, the flagship station down in Milwaukee. You can make a monetary donation there. Or, like I said, you can just swing by, and even if it's some change in your car, just drop it off because it all spends and it all goes towards a great cause. Talking to Packers football now as we get back into that. Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Good day to you, Paul. How you doing, man?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. So we've had a couple of days to decipher the loss that was to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mike McCarthy emotional after the ball game, but also praising the Brett Hundley and what he was capable of doing. So I'll ask you this: after having a little time to decipher it, how much do you think Brett Hundley has improved?
He's improved a lot. I mean, he didn't make the mistakes. Now, I know a lot of people want to say, and it's true, that there was some stuff gift-wrapped from the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe an early holiday present from the Steelers to Brett Hundley and the Packers offense when they decided to completely not cover Randall Cobb on the touchdown. And obviously there was some other stuff along the way that was beneficial to Brett Hundley that you would think any NFL quarterback would make that throw 100 times out of 100. So there was some stuff that he was given, but there was also stuff that he earned. The long pass down the right sideline to Davante Adams, even a lot, like that's the one that's more of like a highlight play, but there were a lot of short to medium stuff that he looked a lot more polished on, that he showed a lot of progression. I thought it was just encouraging from the simple standpoint. I shouldn't say simple, but usually NFL quarterbacks make it look simple, in that when the pressure started coming, rather than bailing out to the left and the right and scrambling backwards in the wrong direction sometimes, he actually took that step up in the pocket that opened up a lot of stuff, too, where it bought him another second and a half, and it just did what the kind of stuff that we're used to watching a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers do. So a lot of improvement from that perspective, and he did it on national television on a Sunday night game, so it's going to get even more attention than otherwise would. And now the question just is, can it be sustained? Because we saw after he looked good in the fourth quarter against the Bears, he looked terrible against the Ravens at home. So now can it be carried forward, or is this just going to be another – one game blip on the radar where he maybe reverts back to some of his old bad habits, or does it continue in the positive direction?
The defense, we talked a lot about last night with Lane Taylor, who just said, look, offensively, they just have to go about their business and move on. And he didn't really come out and say, well, the defense has kind of passed it away. But, defense not being able to get off the field on third down is the biggest opposition to this team, I think, doing any kind of damage from here on out as far as winning out and getting themselves to 10 wins. Mike McCarthy said, hey, we don't talk about anything until we get to 10 wins. The likelihood of that, I think, is slim to none. And none is about to leave town. So I know they can get a couple of wins against Tampa Bay and against the Cleveland Browns, but even if Brett Hundley gets a lot better, I don't know how much more this defense can sustain. I don't want to be the bucket of cold water on optimism, but I think optimism is way, way, way down as far as a light on the horizon right now, right?
Well, it is. You're 5-6. And like Mike McCarthy said, you got to get to 10 before you can even start talking playoffs. And that would mean reeling off 5 in a row. And, yes, it's possible that Aaron Rodgers comes back 2 games from now, but that only even becomes a discussion if the Packers at least win their next 2. And then it at least brings up a reasonable conversation to have where you're 7-6 and you have 3 more to go, where maybe winning out gets you over the top and gets you in the playoffs. You still need a lot of help for that to happen. But you bring up the defense and the third down defense, and what they did against Pittsburgh is what they've been doing a lot this year, which is it seemingly doesn't matter if the Packers defense has their opposition in 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-15. It's being converted more than 50% of the time in a lot of these games, including this past Sunday with Pittsburgh. And it just, I just don't remember. I mean, there's been plenty of times throughout this Dom Capers tenure where Packers fans have tweeted and called and, you know, talked to guys on your show and everything else where it's been complaints about the defense. But I don't ever remember watching the games as often as this year to thinking that the Packers defense, where you don't look at 3rd-and-10 as like a win yet, you know, because the opposing offenses are converting these long 3rd downs at a far too high of clip for a defense to be successful. In addition to that, defensively speaking, you're in a point where, depending on, you know, what resource you track, Bill, I don't know what final number you came up with for missed tackles on Sunday for the Packers defense. I saw Pro Football Focus had like 17. I think Bob McGinn had 19. So depending on who you ask, I think there was, you could safely say at least 15 missed tackles. A lot of problems on that end. And if that doesn't improve, and I don't know how you just magically click a button and fix tackling issues at the end of November into early December, that's a really hard thing to just all of a sudden say, okay, we're going to tackle better now. You know, 3rd-down defense, poor tackling is going to, whether you're playing a good team like Pittsburgh or lesser teams like Tampa and even Cleveland, if you give up 20 missed tackles and let the opposing offense convert 50% plus of its 3rd-downs, it's really hard to overcome stats like that.
Talking with Paul Lemming, by the way, our Green and Gold analyst, and he's brought to you by our good friends at the Sprinkler Fitters. We'll get more into that coming up in a moment. But when you talk about the tag, first of all, once it got past 10, I gave up. So to say how many I counted, I have no idea, because once it got past 10, I was kind of like, that's the end of it. I don't even have a belief anymore that they're capable of tackling on a consistent basis. But so fundamentally, if they got better, how much better do you think the defense is? Because if you get, let's just say, Clay Matthews is able to come back from the groin injury, and let's just say that Kevin King, you know, magically gets that that quote healing injection, and he feels a little bit better, and Randall plays okay, and you know, Burnett's now got a game under his belt, and maybe he's getting back closer to at least feeling 90 to 100%. How much better can it realistically be, though? I mean, we were talking about this the other day, and as much as we want to talk about Dom Capers and scheme, and we saw the scheme, 3-4, it works if you've got the players to play it. You know, that's what they run in Pittsburgh, and they're all over the place. And
right.
I just look at this more and more, and I say, for as many people that want Dom to be blown out, after you watch a 3-4 defense that's effective, I kind of say, you know what, sometimes it's the groceries and the guy buying the groceries rather than the cook trying to make the dinner. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and I don't know at this point, I think the Packers defense from a fundamental and attacking perspective, I think they are who we think they are. I think they are what they've put on film to this point in the season. I mean, we are approaching it. They're in the final game of the 3rd quarter of their season. I don't know if you play 11 games and then magically in time for the 12th game, a lot of these issues go from problems to things that you do at a really high level. Maybe it can improve marginally, you know, and certainly we know just Le'Veon Bell is a hard guy to tackle. He breaks a lot of tackles all year against every team. Same thing with Antonio Brown. So it's not like what the stars that Pittsburgh has, they shone bright on Sunday. Le'Veon Bell was great. Antonio Brown was amazing. And that's just sometimes you tip the hat and you say, okay, I guess those guys played really well. But still, 19 missed tackles, 17 missed tackles, you name it, in that vicinity. When you have those type of issues, and I like your analogy, it's like, you know, Dom Capers can only, you know, cook so good of a meal when the ingredients are what they are. I don't think it excuses him, but it's hard for a defensive coordinator who's trying to game plan for an offense and a team as good as what the Steelers are and then have his players go out there and miss 19 tackles. That's not the coordinator's fault. You could say it's the coach's fault. I mean, let's not forget, I hope people know this, it's not like Dom Capers is on the practice field teaching these guys how to tackle better. He's game planning. You know, it's on the positional coaches to make sure these guys do a better job tackling on a day-to-day basis. And, again, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, tough guys to tackle. 19 is about 9 too many at the least. You know, it's probably way more than 9 too many tackles to miss a game. So in a lot of ways, if you look at some of these stats, you mentioned third down defense. We talked about missed tackles. To have lost this game at a 53-yard field goal at the buzzer in Pittsburgh on the road when you were a 14-point underdog, clearly a lot of other things had to go right to even be in that position in the first place. Certainly a lot of credit to the offense, credit to the couple turnovers that the Packers defense forced, but it is, Bill, you know this, when you get in a spot where even if you win the turnover battle like the Packers have done in this game especially, but you have so many other huge numbers going against you and like missed tackles, the third down defense, you're in a hole that I don't know if it's coordinating, I don't know if it's the coaching of the tackling and this and that. It's sort of an all things going wrong situation. And when you don't have Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the ball to be your miracle cure for making everybody else look better, including the defense, by the way, because a Rodgers-led offense is going to be on the field longer, which means your defense gets to be able to be on the field not as long. And it all kind of works hand in hand that it's to a point that I just don't know how you can think, hey, 19 missed tackles last weekend, but magically there's only going to be 4 this weekend. It's a big hole to climb out of.
Paul, good stuff as always, and we'll chat again later in the week, okay?
Sounds good, Bill. See you, man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emig drops off, and he's our Green and Gold Insider, brought to you by the Sprinkler Fitters, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. You can check him out on the web at sprinklerfitters183.org. That is sprinklerfitters183.org. Broadcasting out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We are on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek, and it's been great to see everybody come by and drop off the new unwrapped toys. By the way, this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. They're the ones that fixed me up, got me back in the game. And if you have something ailing you, maybe you just need a prescription for, you can call them 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And maybe they can help you out. And maybe the nurse practitioner can send a prescription right to the pharmacy nearest you. It's just another way to take care of you in the community. That's Marshfield Clinic Health System. And you can check them out at marshfieldclinic.org. That is marshfieldclinic.org, the official healthcare provider of yours truly. We're going to hear from Lane Taylor, Packers offensive lineman, coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You're listening to the 11th Annual Toy Drive for Children's Hospital, presented by Abra Auto Body and Glass, Young Express, Annex Wealth Management, and driven by Boucher Chevrolet.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad to have you here for the 11th Annual WSSP Toy Drive. We are broadcasting live at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek, our flagship station out of Milwaukee. Thanks so much to everybody for stopping by. Hey, if you're coming by this afternoon or later this evening, you may want to make a note to be here right around the 5 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock, David Stearns is going to be joining the local show, the afternoon show, the big show is here. David Stearns, Brewer General Manager, will be on site. So if you're going to be in the area and you're within the sound of my voice, it doesn't matter when you drop the toy off, as long as you drop it off, come on down and see those guys. Come on down and see David Stearns, the general manager. Some interesting things coming out of the conversation we had earlier with Craig Council, and two of them being, one, he believes that Mark Attanasio is ready to spend the money, and it doesn't matter how much. It's just if it's going to create wins, then they're ready to spend the money at some point. And when I asked him specifically about the second base position, I was alluding to the fact that, you know, whether it's VR or somebody else on the roster, is that position set or is it an open competition? Craig immediately started talking about free agency. I think there's some moves to be made. It's going to be an interesting conversation coming up locally later today as David Stearns, the GM of the Brewers, visits the Big Show guys on the flagship station, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. So take a listen to that. Last night, had a really good time last night. Lane Taylor, the offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, joined us. And we had a really, really good discussion about, you know, the team in general, about coming off of that loss to Pittsburgh. There were a lot of things there. He said, first and foremost, look, it was just great to see Brett Hundley play so well against the Steelers.
It's one of those grown games for him to come off one of his worst performance ever. And, to rebound how he did was awesome and encouraging for the team.
Also, he talked about how the fans, because I had asked him what everybody else has been asking us, and that is, why not Joe Callahan? And when you get into the discussion, we heard from Jordy Nelson, who said, look, this is Brett Hundley's team. We've heard David Bakhtiari say it. We've heard other players say, look, no offense to Joe Callahan, but we believe in Brett Hundley. So I asked Lane Taylor, when you talk about Brett Hundley, when you talk about Callahan, what do you tell the fans?
Just be patient. You know, it's not always going to be great. You know, there's days when, you know, we lose with Aaron in there, or, you know, Aaron does have the best day, but I don't see anyone ready to kick him out of there.
And he discussed the Hundley versus Callahan debate.
You know, just for starters, Hundley's been around longer. He understands the system. He knows how things are supposed to go, how things are supposed to operate. And, you know, he's gotten more of the real reps, live reps and games. And, you know, he just, you know, our mold of what we've been training for the past 3 years, and he knows how it's supposed to be.
Then there's the winner go home, because right now the Green Bay Packers' backs are against the wall. Mike McCarthy said it yesterday. You can't really talk about the postseason until you get to 10 wins. So looking at this team, knowing they basically have to win out to get to the 10-win plateau, the winner go home, back against the wall mentality, what is it?
In December, we want to be at home. We want to play those games at home with the crowd and the weather. You know, obviously you're more comfortable at home, and, you know, it's just we know each and every week it's almost like a win-to-go-home game.
Then you have Tampa Bay this week, Cleveland you'll have on the road, and then you've got Carolina, who is a very tough team right now and seems to have their mojo back. You've got Minnesota at home before you go on the road to end your season against the Lions. When you start to really decipher all of this and you start to look where you can pull wins, you're going to have to steal a win and how you're going to get a win, he says, no, you can't do that. You got to go, it's cliche, but one game at a time.
Yeah, that's just how we have to take it for now. You know, we don't know when Aaron's return is, and, you know, we're rolling with Brett Hundley right now, so we just have to take it one game at a time, you know, chip away. I mean, we got to get to 10 as fast as we can, so, you know, it starts with this week.
Offensive lineman, by the way, with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones when he comes back, the one bright spot out of all of this that they seem to have found is a decent run game. I don't know how great it's going to be, but a decent run game with a 1-2 punch. And he says, hey, look, when it comes to offensive linemen, they love to run the football.
Yeah, definitely. As offensive line, you know, we want to take over the game. We want to, you know, put the game on our shoulders, make it easy for everyone else. So, you know, if it takes, you know, run the ball 30 times, that's what we're going to do.
That's what they'd like to do. The one thing Lane Taylor talked about specifically was they would like to get back to running the football and running the football a lot.
That's what it's all about, you know, flat backing somebody, get some pancakes, be able to run the ball. You know, it's nice, you know, the past few games we got quite a bit of carries in. So, you know, it's a promising position for us with all these young running backs.
So there you go. That was Lane Taylor from the Horse and Plow Huddle last night. Great to have him on board, and it was a lot of fun to be there. If you were facing the crowd last night, thanks so much for coming out. By the way, if the Packers should happen to win out, we all know that maybe they could end up on their way to Minneapolis, which is where we are going to be. The Bill Michaels Show will be live from Radio Row again this year, covering all the pageantry that is the Super Bowl. And we are brought to you by our friends at Robert Hack Diamonds, Port Washington and Greentree Roads in Milwaukee, 76th and Layton in Greenfield. That's where I got Sherry's engagement ring. And don't forget, they pay the most cash for your gold. This time of year, you probably could use a little extra cash. So check out Brett and the gang over at Robert Hack Diamonds, and you can find them on the web as well. Also, when you're out and about, you're moving around, there's a lot of things going on. Maybe you want to do it in style. You'd rather have somebody else do the driving. Signature Limousine. Check them out at info@booksignature.com, your preferred nationwide ground transportation provider. It's what I use. It's what I suggest you use. They're great people, whether it's going to a big event, a night out, special evening, or if you're just going to the airport, heading maybe down to O'Hare, they do a ton of traffic down to O'Hare. And why sit in traffic and wait for all that blech that's Chicago? Let them do it. They'll take care of you. Again, info@booksignature.com. Pat and Brooke are great people. Call them, 262-888-1000, 262-888-1000. And our friends from the Water Doctors. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention them. I made the switch 17 years ago to the Connecticut system. It's been fantastic. Reliable, great marketing, truly caring customer service, and they have groundbreaking innovation and technology on the horizon. Hint, hint. Go to their website, h2odoctors.com, h2odoctors.com. Not only a great water softening system, but if you want to know what's coming into your home and into your drinking water prior to the Connecticut water softening system filtering it out, go to h2odoctors.com and look up the WaterBot, because it is groundbreaking technology. That's the Water Doctors, and we appreciate them being along for the ride as well. Stay tuned. We got a lot more. We only have one segment left, but still a lot more out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This is the 11th annual Toy Drive for Children's Hospital. New this year, we have a dip jar. What's a dip jar? It's a simple way to make a monetary donation by simply dipping your credit or debit card to make a $10 or $25 donation. In this case, we also encourage double dipping. See what I did there?
Now, back to the live show. Just outside Toyland at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson and Oak Creek.
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show on the air. Final segment before we get out of here for our second day, concluding day number two of my show out here for the Blaine's Farm and Fleet location and the 11th annual Toy Drive for the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. We certainly hope you can make it out here, whether it's later tonight. If you want to come out here after 5 o'clock and see Brewers General Manager David Stearns, who is going to be here with the guys from the local show, which is the big show, or if you're going to be here throughout the week, please come out and join us Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Man, we are in the final push now. I know we just got started, but we want to fill that semi up. Last year we raised over $111,000, filled the semi full of toys, and we can't do it without you. We need your help. So if you can please, please come out and join us, we certainly would appreciate it. Also want to remind you that this portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs, and we'll get more into that coming up. But earlier today, if you were out here and maybe you were listening, in case you didn't get a chance to listen, Craig Council, the Brewers for the Brewers manager, was out here. And first of all, I talked to him about his off-season involvement with David Stearns and that managerial crew that kind of goes about assessing talent.
Well, I think in the off-season, I probably turn into more of a consultant, and I'm sure David is keeps me in the loop on everything that's going on. But certainly, it's a full-time job. Managing the roster and managing player personnel is requires a lot of time, and those guys put in a lot of time and put together a lot of very sound processes that allow us to make good decisions. So, I help where I can, but it's their show for sure.
Now, when it comes to free agency, it's not just about Mark Attanasio jumping out there, spending a ton of money just to spend money. The one thing that Craig said is they have to be smart the way they spend their money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's ever a switch, that's like on or off, yes or no. And especially in here, in Milwaukee, we have to be very, prudent with our decisions and smart with our decisions and know where we're exposing ourselves to a lot of risk. But at the same time, know that, when you're one more win, when you go through a season where one more win can make the difference, then you realize that you can probably pursue more short-term, kind of assets, I think. And that's what, is the thing in front of us this winter is that, the question, do you pursue more short-term stuff or to continue the long-term view? And it probably is both. You're always kind of doing both.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had David Stearns on not too long ago, and I asked him, I said, when it comes time to spend money, are you confident that Mark Antonio, because the way the Cubs did it was they got some good draft choices, had some superstars, and they went out and spent money. They had close to a $300 million payroll the year they won the World Series. So I asked Rick Schlesinger the same thing, the chief operating officer. I said, when it comes time to spend the money, when Brewers fans are going, yep, we're with you in the rebuild, but when it comes time to spend the money, will Mark Attanasio spend the money? I asked the exact same question to Craig Council. Here's his answer.
Mark, Attanasio has been very clear that he will spend the money when it's time to spend the money and when it's right to spend the money. I don't have any question about that. I think if anything, Mark's probably pushing us and at times we've got to slow him down to make sure it's right. But Mark's always, he's willing at all times, he always has been to me, to spend the money.
So there you go. That was Craig Council a little earlier. And if you want to hear the entire interview, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Very entertaining. I mean, Craig Council had said that he is excited already. He's ready to go, as it is. Excited already for the offseason to kind of be over with. He wants to get back at it. I mean, a lot of guys want to get back at it. You heard from Marcus Hanel down here, the Brewers bullpen catcher a little while ago as well, that said the exact same thing, that a lot of the guys, when they left, they were ready for the next season to begin the next day. They really wanted to get this thing going right then, right there. So a lot of optimism for this year. The difference between this season, this season's off season, and this upcoming season is the fact that there's a lot of expectation. Last year there wasn't an expectation. Everybody was figuring 76, 77, 79 wins, something like that, and not a whole lot of, I want to say optimism. Then last year happened. Now there's optimism. Now, you don't have Jimmy Nelson, They're going to have to get creative. So when are they going to spend money? How are they going to spend money? The one thing I think that was interesting that Craig Counsell used was short-term money, which means you can go out and blow a ton of it in a couple of years and not get married to it over a 4, 5, 6 year period. Because you think about some of the contracts that the Pack or the Brewers, Brewers fans specifically wanted to target. You know, CeCe Sabathia wanted $150 million. The Brewers were about $100 million. Was that a good investment? Now, certainly the Yankees have had some success, but you know, CeCe's had his up and down years. It wasn't until this past year that he lost the velocity and kind of learned how to repitch himself. Started talking to Andy Pettit about how to do things differently. After you start to lose that little bit of zip on your fastball, that he had to reinvent himself. You know, you look at Prince Fielder. They wanted, people wanted to keep Prince here. And had Prince stayed here, maybe things would have turned out differently. But that contract turned out to be a huge bust. So some of the money spent is the money that's best not spent. And you continue to build for the future. But now it's time. It's time to start looking forward and say, okay, how much money is too much? And how much do you spend in the short term versus the long term? And then you have to decide whether you're ready to fly or not. And if you're going to fly, you have to have some superstars to build around. And we can talk more about that tomorrow, because do the Brewers have some superstars to build around? Also tomorrow, we're going to talk about the college football playoff rankings and the Badgers' place in it. Pete Futek from College Football Insiders is going to be joining us. Also, we're going to be joined live and in person here by Travis Shaw, the Brewers' third baseman, who is not only going to talk to us about the Brewers' season, but talk to us about Children's Hospital specifically. So good stuff today. Time for us to get out of here. We certainly appreciate everybody that stopped by, but we can't stop now. We got a lot more to go. We've got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday all to get this thing done. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Sleep.
Sports Talk Network.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.